Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Shlomo Perlstein. Meseches Ksubis has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Shlomo Nyman, Le'ilo Nishmas, Rav Yaakov ben Matisyahu Zatzal, and Chaya Bas Pesach.
Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Pei Ches Amud Beis talks about a woman who is trying to be Goyver her Ksuba and the proof that she has to show in order to get the Ksuba from her husband. So the Mishnah says if she was Maitzi her get, she showed her get without a Ksuba. She didn't produce the shtar ksuba. Still, the Mishnah says, goyva ksuba, so she can collect the money over ksuba. Showing a get is enough of a proof. However, if she showed a ksuba without a get, she produced the shtar ksuba, but she did not produce the shtar of the get, and the husband says, I paid, and I lost my receipt. And she says, I lost my get, and I was never paid. So the Mishnah says in such a case, she does not collect her get. The Mishnah Gamliel says that Mishasa Sakonav Eilach, a woman can be goyva her ksuba even if she doesn't have the get to show. That's the Mishnah. There are several mahalchim in the Gemara to explain pshat in this Mishnah. If a woman shows her get, she can collect her ksuba. If she shows her ksuba, she cannot collect her ksuba. She doesn't show the get. Mishnah Gamliel says that even without the get, she can be goyver ksuba, mishasa sakana. Before we elaborate on the different shitas, we'll just go through the Gemara a little bit, just to get the base of where the different shitas are coming from. The Gemara asks a kasha. Shma mino kaisin shayver. We see from our Mishnah, from the fact that the woman can collect her ksuba, even though she did not produce the shtar ksuba. Rather, it's enough that she proved that she was divorced by showing her get. So you see that kais and shaver, they write receipts. What does that mean? There's machlokes maseches Bava Basra. What happens if for whatever reason the malva cannot or will not produce the shtar when the loiva wants to pay him? The loiva asks for the shtar back. And the malva says, listen, I'm not going to give you the shtar, but I'll write a receipt that says that you paid. One shita holds that we can force the loiva to suffice with receiving a receipt, and he'll have to watch that shaver, he'll have to watch that receipt to make sure it doesn't get lost. However, there's another shita that ain't koisin shaver, we do not force the loiva to suffice with a receipt, because what'll happen? He may lose the receipt, and the malva will, in quotations, find the shtar, and be goiva once again. Therefore, the shita holds that the loiva does not have to pay back the malva until the malva can actually give back the original shtar. As we say, ein kaisin shaver, we don't force the loiva to accept a receipt. So the Gemara says from our Mishnah, it's mochach, that kaisin shaver, that we force the loiva to accept the receipt, because here, the wife is producing her get, she does not show that she has a shtar ksuba, but yet we force the husband to pay the ksuba, and we're not chayshish, she's going to keep that ksuba by her. She really has it. She's not going to give it to the husband, that he'll have an opportunity to rip it up. Rather, she'll hold on to it till after he dies. Then she'll go to Besdin and be goyva the ksuba once again as an almana. She has the ksuba. It was never ripped up. Husband paid her after the get by the mere fact that she produced her get. And if she has an opportunity to be goyva once again as an almana, she'll do that. The only thing that could possibly protect the husband from paying twice is if he has a receipt. So we see, l'chayr, from our Mishnah, that the Tana holds kais and shayver. As that, l'chayr, is the only way the husband can protect himself from being forced to pay twice. And really, the explanation of the Gemara's Kasha, according to Rashi, is we hold l'halacha that ain't kais and shayver. We don't force the loiva to pay the malva unless he gets the actual shtar returned to him. And we don't tell him to suffice with just getting a receipt. However, Taisus says L'chayrut Smochach and Baba Basra that we do hold Kaisin Shaver L'halocha, that we do force the loiva to pay and suffice with getting a receipt. So Taisa says, Enachanami, just the Gemara wanted to say that L'chayrut Shver to say that there's a proof from our Mishnah to one of these two Shitas, because from our Mishnah L'chayrut Smochach that Kaisin Shaver. Now the Pnei Yeshua wants to defend Rashi from Taisus Kasha that even if it's mochach in Baba Basra that we do hold Kais and Shaver, that's only by a halva. The klal is eved loiva leishmal, but the loiva is subservient to the malva. And if the malva demands the acceptance of a receipt as a proof of payment, so the loiva is meshuba to the malva. However, by a ksuba, we're definitely not going to say this svar of eved loiva leishmalva. And therefore, by a ksuba, Rashi understood that there's no tzad that lahalocha will say kais vin shayver. However, one of the three mahalchim in explaining the Mishnah is Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. And Shitas Rabbi Yochanan definitely is based on the halacha that will say kais vin shayver over here. Rabbi Yochanan learns from our Mishnah the klal that hatoyin achar maisei bezdin loy omar klum. Somebody who says parati on a maisei bezdin is not nemon at all. A person cannot say that he paid iksuba or he paid mezainos that he had to pay unless he can prove that he paid with a shaver. Rabbi Yochanan holds halacha lemaisa that kais vin shaver. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, when the Mishnah said haitzia get ve'einoim iksuba, she produced the get without iksuba, it's lav dafka even that she produced the get according to Tosfos. As long as she proved that she was divorced, even with Eidi Geirishin, just by Eidim, that's enough to allow her to be goyva her ksuba. The husband can't say parati. Hatoyin achar maisa bezdin, leomar klum. Somebody who says that he paid up a chiyuv that bezdin was machayivim is not nemon, unless he can prove it. And since the ksuba is a maisa bezdin, it's something that bezdin is machayiv, therefore he won't be nemon to say parati unless he can prove it. And since Rabbi Yochanan holds that kais vin shayver, he'll have to show either a shayver or edim that saw that it was paid. Therefore, as long as she proves that she was divorced, she'll get a ksuba, and the burden of proof to whether it was paid or not is on the husband. When the Mishnah says afterwards that she produced her ksuba without a get, it doesn't mean that she produced a ksuba without the paper of the get. Rather, she cannot prove that she was divorced at all. There are no edei gerushin. She says that she lost her get, namely the edei gerushin went away and she cannot prove that she is divorced, and the husband is maida she was divorced, but he said he paid and he had a receipt, which would be the normal thing for him to do, because Rabbi Yochanan holds kais vin shayver. In such a case, he is believed that he paid with a migu that he could have said, I didn't divorce you. However, Mishnah Gamliel says, min hasakana ve'elach, the woman is goyva her get, even without eidei gerushin, because she can't bring the eidei gerushin at that point, as the goyim made a gzeira. So Tosfos asks, still, how could she be goyva her ksuba if there are no eidim? Believe the husband with a migu that he could have said, I didn't divorce you. So Tosfos explains, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason that the husband is not believed with a migu is, in theory, he should be believed. But since Chazal gave a strengthened kayach to the wife, even before the Shasa Sakana, that she can be goyva her ksuba, and the husband cannot say parati. So after Shasa Sakana, they gave her a strengthened kayach that even if she cannot prove that she was divorced, the husband can't say parati even though he has a migu. It's a takana, it's a mistabra. If Chazal gave her a strong kayach even before Shasa Sakana, so they gave her a strong kayach even after Shasa Sakana that even with a migu, he can't say parati. And since the husband is maida, that he divorced her, he's chayev to give her a ksuba. That's Shitas Taisis in Rabbi Yochanan. However, the Ritva understands that Rabbi Yochanan also is mechayev her to bring a get, a physical paper that says that there was a get, in order for her to collect her ksuba. Eidei Gerushin, however, will not suffice to allow her to collect her ksuba, because what will happen is she may bring Eidim in one bezdin, and bring Eidim in a different bezdin, and she'll be goyva twice. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, b'shasa sakana, she doesn't have to produce the actual get, but she definitely will have to produce Eidei Gerushin. So you have a Machlekes Tosfos and the Ritva in Rabbi Yochanan, whether she has to prove that she was divorced with the get itself, or it's enough if she just has Eidei Gerushin. Now the Ritva asks another kasha on Rabbi Yochanan from the Gemara Metzia, Hamaitei Shtar Ksuba. If a man finds a ksuba on the street, who does he return it to? The husband or the wife? So it says, "Bezman she'ena bal moide loyachzer." When the husband is not moide that it wasn't unpaid yet, he does not give it to the wife because we're afraid it was paid up already, and she'll be goyva a second time. Fragt der Ritva. The Ritva asks, according to Rabbi Yochanan, give it back to the wife. Who cares? Unless the husband can produce a shaver, she can be goiva even without the ksuba. So the Ritva answers that this klal that Rabbi Yochanan holds, that the wife can be goiva even without the shtar ksuba, as long as she can prove that she was divorced, she gets the ksuba, and the husband does not nemo se parati, because atoyin achar maise bezdin layomar klom, that's only relevant to the ikir ksuba, to the mona masayim that every woman gets. However, the gabit hisefes ksuba, that already, that's not atoyin achar maise bezdin. That's not what bezdin, what the chahomer masakin. That's a present that the husband was maskim to give. On that, if the person who found the ksuba gives it back to the wife, she was already going with the ksuba, that may cost the husband a double loss, and therefore layachzer should not return it to the wife unless the husband is maida. This is shitas shebeichim that we said. However, the Gemara in our sugya, other than alluding to that shita, when the Gemara said shmamina kaisvin shayver, which means that the Gemara understood that if we hold kaisvin shayver, the Mishnah makes sense. And Taisus asks, why would the Gemara be satisfied to explain the Mishnah if you hold Kaisvin Shaver still? Why should she be Gaver, her Ksuba, if all she produced is the get? To which Taisus answers, the Gemara at that point, when the Gemara said, Shmami not Kaisvin Shaver, the Gemara held like Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that as long as she proves she was divorced, Atoinach her Maisa Bezdin, Layomer Klum, if somebody says that he paid up a Chayv that Bezdin was Machayiv, they're not Nemon. Therefore, if he holds Kaisvin Shaver, the Mishnah works out very nicely. If she produces her get, or Eidei Gerushin, even according to Taisvis, we say that he's not named to say Parati unless he has a Shaver. If she just produces a Ksuba and not the get, which means that she cannot prove that she was divorced, the husband has a Migu, he could say Parati with a Migu that I never divorced you. However, if you hold any Kaisvin Shaver, which the Gemara understands at this point that according to the way Rashi explained, that's the halacha, or the way Taisus explains, the Gemara over here doesn't want to get involved in that machlekes. How do we explain the Mishnah? If you hold Ein Kaisvin Shaver, how could we allow the wife to be goyva the ksuba based on the get alone? Why aren't we afraid that even though we're going to rip up the get after the husband pays her the ksuba, we should be chayshish that she'll come back after he dies with the ksuba and be goyva once again? To which the Gemara answers two tirutzim. The first tirutz the Gemara answers is Rav. They were talking about a mokim she'ein kaisvin ksuba. It's talking about a place that they don't have a minig of writing a ksuba. They automatically are giving a ksuba for a woman when she's divorced or she becomes an almana. Therefore, the Gemara answers, according to Rav, that of course, generally, we don't force the loiva to accept a shaver, to accept a receipt as proof of payment. Ein kaisvin shaver. And if the minig in that place was to write a ksuba, then the husband would not have to pay the ksuba even if she produced the get, because we're afraid she'll come back and be goyva once again with a ksuba after he dies. And we don't force him to accept the shaver. However, the Mishnah is talking about a place where they don't write a ksuba. Now, since the minig is not to write a ksuba in that place, so he can't demand the ksuba back because there is no ksuba necessarily. Therefore, in such a case, Baal Karcheinu, we're going to have to be Seimeich to rely on a Shaver. In a place where they don't write a Ksuba, that he has a Ksuba to ask for back, of course, when there's no Eitzah, then they have to rely on a Shaver. Now, really, the Gemara doesn't say that Mefurish, and Rashi doesn't really explain that Mefurish, but that's what comes out of the Sugya. The Ramban actually says it clearly, that that's the Gemara's Teretz, that since there's no choice, wherever there's no choice, of course, we force the leiva, or in this case the husband, to accept a shaver as proof of payment. And since there's no ksuba to give it back to the husband, so there's no other choice except to rely on a shaver, to rely on a receipt. So therefore, the Mishnah, according to Rav, reads that if she comes with her get, she can be goiva the money of the ksuba. If she comes with her ksuba without a get, and he says he lost his receipt, and she says she lost her get, since she doesn't have a get to prove that she was divorced, rechayshis that she collected just with a get, and as that's the halacha, because it's a makam she'ein kaisvin ksuba. Although he, for whatever reason, did write a ksuba to her, as she pulls out a ksuba to prove that, But since Bezin forced him to pay without the ksuba in front of us, and he demanded a shaver and he got one, he says he lost it, and she says she lost her get, we don't believe her, and therefore, unless she produces the get, she won't be gave her ksuba. That's Rav's teretz. Shmuel answers that, again, we hold ein kais and shaver. Why is she gave her ksuba in the Mishnah with the get alone, without producing the shtar ksuba? To which Shmuel answers, the Mishnah still could be talking about umakim shekaisvin ksuba. Still, she's tining that for whatever reason he didn't write a ksuba to her. If she proves that he didn't write the ksuba, so therefore she'll be gaiva the money of the ksuba without producing the shtar ksuba, and a get will suffice to collect the money of the ksuba. Basically, it's the same idea as Rav. Just Shmuel says it could be talking about a place where they do write a ksuba, and she proved the ksuba wasn't written for her in particular, and therefore she can be gaiva with the get alone. And Shmuel can explain the Mishnah also in a case where it's a place that they don't write ksubas, that the husband says, I did write a ksuba, and therefore I don't want to pay her the money of the ksuba, and she says that she didn't get one. So unless the husband proves that he actually wrote a ksuba, he'll have to let her collect the money of the ksuba by producing the get by itself. So according to Shmuel, the Mishnah can be talking about both a place that they do write a ksuba or a place that they don't write the ksuba. It's along the same lines as Rav's teretz, just Shmuel has an ukimta that even in a place where they do write a ksuba, if she proved that he didn't write a ksuba for her for whatever reason, it has the same halacha as a makam she'en kaisin ksuba. Now the Rif paskins like this mahalach to explain the Mishnah that it's talking about a makam she'en kaisin or a place where they do write, and she didn't write, for whatever reason. Like Shmuel's teretz, the Ran asks, lahalacha we paskin that kaisvin shaver, and lahalacha we paskin atayin achar ma'ase bezdin lo yomar klum. So why does the Rif paskin like Shmuel that if there's a ksuba written until she produces the ksuba, he won't have to pay her the money of the ksuba? Lahalacha it should come out like Rabbi Yochanan that as long as she proves that she was divorced, even if it's a makam shekaisvin ksuba, I don't care. Hatayin achar ma'ase bezdin lo yomar klum. If a man says parati on a yechiv that bezdin was mechayiv him, unless he can prove that he paid, he won't be neman. And more than that, Rabbi Yochanan holds kaisvin shaver, and that's how we paskin. So why does the Rif paskin to explain the Mishnah like Shmuel? It's a place where there's no ksuba, but if there was a ksuba, he would not have to pay unless she produced the ksuba. That's against the halacha l'chayra. So the Ran explains that even if we hold kaisvin shaver lahalacha, and even if we hold someone who's tayin achar ma'ase bezdin, we don't believe him at all. Still, in a place where they write a ksuba, she won't be able to be goyva her ksuba just by producing the get, according to Shmuel, and that's why the Rif paskins, because there is a reisa to her taina. It's pretty obvious that if she produces her get and not her ksuba, that she was paid already. If a woman doesn't produce her ksuba, she just produces her get, it seems to Bezdin that she was paid, and that's why she gave her husband back the ksuba. In Mela, there's a reisa to the Maisa Bezdin, it's a weaker Maisa Bezdin, and therefore, even though we hold kaisvin shaver, in such a case, the husband will not have to pay, according to Shmuel, because it would seem that she was paid already, and it's considered a reisa in the Maisa Bezdin. Now, this teretz of the Ran is tzarech bi'ur ksas, because you have to understand, what's the difference between the shtar ksuba and the shtar of a regular bal chayiv? If you say by a regular bal chayiv that kaisvin shaver, there's a reisa to his taina, where's the shtar? Must be the chayiv was paid up. We don't say that. It's possible for a shtar to get lost. So let's say by the ksuba too. It's possible the ksuba got lost. There must be some svara to say that if a woman has her get and not her ksuba, then it's mistaber she did not lose it, rather she gave it back. However, the Ran doesn't say that clearly, and therefore it's tzarech biur. What's the difference between a ksuba and a regular shtar chayiv? Getting back to the Gemara, we said Shmuel holds that if a ksuba wasn't written, it's enough for her to present her get, as it says in the Mishnah. But, however, Tosfos explains that she definitely has to pull out her get. This way, Bezdin can rip up the get, and she won't have a chance to be goyva once again as a grusha. If she doesn't pull out her get, he doesn't have to pay her ksuba even if she brings eidei haget. As Taisus explains, if she holds on to her get, what's going to happen is she'll try to be goyva once again with the get. And he won't be able to say, lo gerashtech, I didn't divorce you, because she has a get in her hand. And he won't be able to say, parati, because Taisus in this point holds that Shmuel also holds that toynachar ma'isa besdin lo yomar klum. He cannot say parati against a ma'isa besdin. Therefore, we will not allow her to be goyva her ksuba unless she hands in the get and has it ripped up. Now, parenthetically, Marsha points out that he's still not in the clear, even if they rip up the get, because she may bring Eidei Geirishin to a different Bezdin and try to be Geiva once again. For that, Taka, there is no Eitza by ripping up the get. However, he gains by ripping up the get that she might not be in a place where there are other Eidim, and she'd have a much easier time if she has the get itself. However, by ripping up the get, as we said, according to this Mahalchan Taisvis, he's not fully protected. Then Taisus has a tzad to say that Shmuel argues on the whole svara of Hatoyin Achar Maisa Bezdin Layomar Klum. Shmuel holds that one is nemut to say parati against the Maisa Bezdin, and therefore she has to bring the get and have it ripped up, because if not, he won't be able to say parati. And if he does rip up the get and she says that she was divorced, he would be nemut to say parati, as she has no shtar, she has no document to prove that she didn't get her ksuba yet. And more than that, even if the husband is maida that he did not pay the ksuba yet, he does not have to pay until she brings him the get, because he is in a vulnerable situation. He may lose by her pulling out the get a different time to be gaiva, and therefore, even if he's maida he didn't pay yet, he does not have to pay until she produces the get and has it ripped up. And if she's maitzi the ksuba without a get, she cannot collect the ksuba, because he could say parati, and I ripped up the get in order to deny you a chance to be goyva once again. Afterwards, the Gemara says that Rav changed his mind in his explanation of the Mishnah. He understands that Mishnah is talking about both in a case where they write a ksuba or in a place where they don't write a ksuba. And Chazal are masakering like this. When she pulls out her get, she gets the ikir ksuba. Mono masayim that every woman gets in her ksuba. And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. She produces her get, she pulls out her get, and she says, see, I was divorced. She gets the ikar ksuba, even if she cannot produce the shtar ksuba. In order for her to get the taisefes ksuba, whatever a man decides to give more than the standard ksuba, that she has to produce her ksuba and prove that she wasn't paid yet. Therefore, if she pulls out her ksuba and not her get, she'll just get taisefes and not the ikar ksuba, as we assume that she was paid already when she produced her get. On this, the Gemara asks, in our Mishnah, it's mashma, that if she produces the ksuba and not the get, she doesn't get paid anything. So the Gemara asks, according to Rav, why is that? She should at least get her tosefes ksuba. So the Gemara answers, it's talking about that there were no eidei geirishin. She can't prove that she was divorced, so therefore, the husband is believed to say that he divorced her and paid her with a migul that he could say, I never divorced her, so I don't know her anything. Now Taisus asks a kasha on this. In Dibar Maskal Migul, the Gemara says, earlier in the second parak, and in Masechtas Gittin, that a woman who tells her husband Gerishtani, she is believed. So why does the Gemara say that he could say, I paid her with a migul that I never divorced her, when a woman says she is divorced, she is nemun? So Taisus answers, that the Gemara says a woman is nemun to say gerashtani is only if she's not coming to be tivei or her ksuba. If she's coming to collect money for her ksuba, then she's not believed. As we say, she's lying in order to get the money. Taisus brings a raya to this svara, as we find in the end of Yevamos, that if a woman comes and says her husband died and she got a heter to remarry, that she's mutter to remarry. And not only that, but they let her collect her ksuba also. However, if a woman came along and said, give me my ksuba, because my husband died, not only don't they give her the ksuba, they don't allow her to remarry, because we're chayshish that the reason she's saying that her husband died was only to use it as a chatimsa to collect her ksuba. So we see there's a difference whether she comes asking for her ksuba, where we don't believe her, to whether she comes to ask for a heter, and the ksuba is a byproduct where she's believed. And since over here she's being tevei her ksuba, that's the primary reason for her tviya, therefore she is not believed. However, the Ramban disagrees with Taisus. He says there's no raya from the Gemara in Yevamos. The heter in the Gemara of Yevamos that a woman is nemon to say that her husband died is because of really, a woman who's an Eshesish should not be nemon to say that her husband died. She is an Eid Echad at best, being matter herself against the Cheskas Eshesish. Still, the Chacham Murmekel, because if she is proven wrong, Chazal have a whole list of chumras they made against her, therefore we're certain she's going to be careful. If she comes asking for her ksuba, we're not so certain that she is careful, and therefore we're not going to allow her to remarry also. However, when a woman tells her husband, Gerashtani, the reason she's believed against him is because Ein Isha Me'iza Paneu B'fnei Baila, a woman wouldn't have the audacity to tell her husband that he divorced her unless it's true. And if that svara is true, what's the difference whether she's asking for her ksuba or not? If she wouldn't dare tell her husband Gerashtani, that svara is just as true if she's asking for her ksuba also. The Ramban says it's theoretically possible to answer that we say, a woman would never dare tell her husband that he divorced her, only applies when she's asking to remarry. However, if she's just asking for her ksuba, it could be that a woman could have such a chutzpah, and therefore she won't be believed. Afterwards, the Ramban brings Shitas HaRambam, that a woman is nemon, to say Gerashtani, and therefore she'd get her ksuba, that's only linyan the Iker ksuba, the Mono Masayim, that every woman gets. However, regarding the Tosefes, the extra bit in the ksuba that he added to her, that she's not nemon, unless she has real proof. The Ramban wants to say the svara is that a woman is goyva her ksuba, just by saying Gerashtani, because we darshan Loshain Medrash Ksuba. And since it says, whenever you're going to be mutter to remarry, I'll pay you the Ksuba, so she's mutter to remarry now based on what she told him, Gerashtani, that you divorced me. However, Tesefes Ksuba maybe doesn't have that halacha that we're Dairish Medrash Ksuba, or Medaik the Loshan to the T, and therefore, unless she proves that she was divorced, she will not be able to be Goiva, the Tesefes Ksuba. According to this Shita and the Rambam, we can answer Taisus' Kasha. Taisus asks, the Gemara says that according to Rav, if she doesn't have Ede Geirushin, and she pulled out her ksuba to be gave her Taisefes ksuba, then Rav holds that he doesn't have to give her the Taisefes ksuba because there's no Ede Geirushin, and therefore he has a migu that he could say, I paid you the Taisefes ksuba already, with a migu that he could say, I didn't divorce you. And Taisus asks, what do you mean? The wife always has a kayach to say, Gerashtani, the husband wouldn't be believed that like Gerashtich. According to the Rambam, that kash is not shver. Because even though a woman is nemon to say Gerashtani, that the husband divorced her, that's only regarding being mat to her to marry or to collect the Iker Ksuba. To collect the Tosefes Ksuba, the Rambam holds she's not nemon. And therefore, since our sugi is talking about Rav Shita, that when she pulls out her Ksuba, she's goyva the Tosefes, and that's what the whole sugi over here is talking about. Why in our Mishnah is she not going with the Tesefes with the Ksuba alone? To which Rav says, if there's no Eide Gerishin, the husband is Nemon with a Migu. Even if the wife normally would be Nemon to say Gerishtani, but to collect the Tesefes Ksuba, which is what we're talking about over here, she's not Nemon. Therefore, Mora says that the husband is Nemon, regarding the Tesefes at least, to say, I paid you Migu, that he could say, I didn't divorce you. The Ravid has a different mahalach in this halacha that a woman is nemun to say Gerashtani, that it's only if she says, you divorced me just right now, very recently. Therefore, it's possible to prove it by showing the get or by speaking to the dayanim. But if she says, you divorced me a while back, she's not nemun to say Gerashtani, and therefore, that's another mahalach to answer Taisus's kasha, why the husband over here is believed to say, I didn't divorce you. The wife, is always Nemon. Zakter Ravid, it's not true. She's not always Nemon. She's only Nemon if she says, you divorced me just right now. But if there's time lapse, then it's impossible to prove it. She's not Nemon to say Gerashtani. Now, going a bit further in Taisvis, the next Taisvis, Dibre Amaschal Yochel, Taisvis Asakasha. The Gemara says that if she produces her ksuba without a get, she's not good for her Tesefes ksuba, even though Rav holds that if a woman produces the ksuba, she is goyva the Tesefes ksuba. But if the husband has a way to get out of it by saying, I didn't divorce you, if he has a migu that he could say, legeirashtich, and therefore I don't owe it to you, he's also able to say, parati, I already paid the Tesefes ksuba. Bekitzer is nemuch to say parati b'migu delegei rashtich. Taisus asks Akasha, what kind of migu is that? What are we saying? Believe him that he paid her with a migu that he could say he didn't divorce her. So what's going to happen if he didn't divorce her? He's going to have to pay all chiyuvei ish l'ishtai, share, ksus, v'ayna. That's not a migu. Why would he want a taina legei rashtich? He'll be worse off. Migu is that if he was lying, he'd say a better taina. Saying legei rashtich has not a better taina. Saying legei rashtich hits him with chiyuvei share, ksus, v'ayna. So Taisus answers, no. If he were to say legei rashtich, and she's still his wife, he still would not be chayiv in share ksus v'ayna. As Taisus compares it to the Gemara in Shavuos, a very famous halacha, that if Reuven is teveya from Shimon chitim, and Shimon is maida, he owes him sayirim. He denies the chiyuv of chitim, but he says, "I do owe you sayirim." Ta'ana chitim v'haydelai b'sayirim. The halacha is that Shimon is potter. So therefore, if the wife is demanding her ksuba, and the husband says, I don't owe you a ksuba, I actually owe you share ksus v'ayna, the halacha is he's potter both from the ksuba, because of the neimonis that he has because of the migu, and regarding a share ksus v'ayna, he's potter regardless, because she wasn't teveya that. She wanted chitim. He said, I owe you sayirim. In that case, he's potter both from the chitim and the sayirim. However, this teretz and taisus is very not pashut, because it's really a three-way machlekes how to understand this halacha of ta'ani chitim v'haydelai b'sa'irim. Why is the person who is maida b'sa'irim potter entirely? So some say that the lamdas is Shimon is potter from paying even the sa'irim because Reuven was meichel sa'irim. You see, Reuven was tevei achitim; he wasn't tevei sa'irim. So it's muchach that Reuven was meichel, and therefore Shimon is potter also from the sa'irim. Some learn the lamdas of Tana Chitin v'haydelai b'sa'irim that Shimon is potter even from paying the sa'irim because Reuven was technically maida that Shimon does not owe him sa'irim. There's a third mahalach in the Rishayim that the reason Shimon is potter from paying even for the sa'irim because Shimon could say mishatani bach, I was playing around with you, I didn't mean it as a hayda. You were teveya something ridiculous. You were teveya chitim, which I don't owe you. So I said, you know what? I owe you sa'irim. But I didn't mean it seriously as a haidah. Therefore, Reuven cannot be mechayev Shimon to pay at least sa'irim. And there's a tremendous nafkamina between these shittas. What happens if ta'ana chitim v'haydelai b'sa'irim and the person who was maida Shimon, who was maida that he owes sa'irim, knows for a fact that Reuven's making a mistake and he really owes sa'irim? Is he mukhiv to pay it? Lotzis yidei shemayim at least. It's totally in these timeim that we just mentioned. If it works as a din of mashata anibach, he could say that I was lying. Or even if it works as a haidah, that Reuven was maida, that Shimon doesn't owe him sa'irim. If Shimon knows for a fact that he really does owe him the sa'irim, Shimon has to pay. If there was no mechila, Reuven's making a mistake. That's not considered reason to pater. Therefore, Shimon has to pay. According to the Shita that Meshatan Ibach is a way for Shimon to say, I didn't mean it seriously. That's only if Shimon Taka didn't mean it seriously. But if he knows in his heart that he really does owe Reuven Sayurin, of course he has to pay. However, according to the Shita and the Rishayim that learns it works Alts Mechila, then even if Shimon knows that he owes Reuven Sa'irim, since Reuven was Teveya only Chitim and not Sa'irim, and this Shita understands that it's a Mechila on the Sa'irim, therefore Shimon doesn't have to pay, even if he knows that he really did owe Reuven for Sa'irim. The Ramah in Chayshon Mishpat, Simon Pei Ches, Sif Yud Beis, brings this Machlaikis as to whether, if Shimon knows that he owes him the Sa'irim, does he have to pay or not? And that's totally in the different Shitas of why Ta'an Echitim V'Hayyulay B'Sayrim is Potter, as we explained. Now the Ksais in Sim Peches Siv Kotten Tes proves from our Taisvis that Taisvis does not learn like the Shita of the Ramah, the Shita that holds that the reason V'Hayyulay B'Sayrim is Potter on the Sayrim also because he could say Meshata. Because in our Taisvis, he can't say Meshata Anibach. It's one or the other. Either she's a Grusha and he owes her the Taisafis Ksuba, or she's an Eishes Ish and he owes her she'er ksus v'ayna. By chitin and sa'irim, it could be his potter from both. He could be potter from the chitin, and he could be potter from the sa'irim. So therefore, he could say, m'shat anibach, I don't owe you anything. When I said I owe you sa'irim, I was just kidding. However, in our case, she's either a grusha or she's an eishes ish. But one way or the other, he owes her money. But when she's tayanai ksuba, she wants the tesefes ksuba, and he says, no, I owe you sher ksus v'ayna, you're still married to me. There's no way he could say mishata anibach. Because if he's mishata anibach about the sher ksus v'ayna, then he has to pay her the tesefes ksuba. From the fact that Tesis calls us Ta'ana Echitim, Mahaydalei B'Sairim, and he's potter from both, it's Muchach that he learns, L'chayra, like the Mahalach and the Rishayim, that Haydalei B'Sairim is still potter from paying the Sairim, because technically the Teveya was Meichel. So the wife was Meichel when she said that you divorced me, she was Meichel on Sherek Suas V'ayna. The Ksais handles in Sif Katan Yud that L'chayra, it would seem, Tesis cannot work with the shita that holds that the reason Shimon is potter from paying for Sa'irim also is because of Reuven's Haida. Because as we mentioned before, if Reuven is Maida, that Shimon does not owe him Sa'irim, rather he owes him Chitim, but Shimon knows that he owes Sa'irim and not Chitim, Shimon has to pay back. There's a definite Chiyuv. It's not that there was a Mechila on the Sa'irim. If it's just a Haida, so the Haida is a mistake. And Shimon does, in fact, owe Reuven the Sairim. In our Gemara, where Taisa says, it's Tana Lechitim, Vahidlai B'Sairim, Mele, if it's Mechila, the wife was Meichel, Lesher, Ksus, Vahina, that makes sense. But if it works as a din of Haida, the wife is Maida, possibly that he doesn't owe her Sher, Ksus, Vahina. But the husband knows that he does. And according to the Tam of Haida, L'chayr, the husband, should have to pay her the Sher Ksus V'ayna. We all know that she's his wife, and he's saying that he owes her Sher Ksus V'ayna. So the Ksais answers that although we all know that he's married to her, and therefore according to what he's saying, he's sticking with his taina that he owes her at least Sa'irim, he's sticking with the taina that he owes her at least Sher Ksus V'ayna, and L'chayr should be chayiv because there's no mechila. Still, we can't be mechayivim the sherek sus va'ayna b'payil, because he could say, I already paid, parati the sherek sus va'ayna. Though normally a husband can't say that. Still, when she's maida, that she doesn't have a chiyuv on him, she doesn't have a tfiyah on him, therefore the husband could say any taina that will pater him. That's why the haidah, although it doesn't pater in Gansin, because according to what the husband's saying, he still owes her, but since it's possible for him to say that he already paid it, or any other taina that patters, therefore she can't be teveya from him, the sherek sus v'ayna. But of course, as we said before, if he knows that he didn't pay up, medina, according to the shita that holds the ikur reason, is haida, then in this case, where he knows that there isn't a real chiyuv, he is mechuyev to pay, although she can't be mitzit from Besdin, because her taina was on the ksuba. The Nesivus over there in Simon Peches, Sif Katan Gimel, says a slightly different mahalach than the Ksais. He explains Taisvis that it's considered a Tana Echitim v'haydalei b'sa'irim, even though Mimanav Shach, he has to give her something, because what happens is technically when the wife says, you divorced me, it's definitely no less than any case where a wife says, Eini Nizainis v'eini Oysa, where a wife patters the husband from a chiyuv mezainos, as she's keeping ma'isa yodeo to herself, as we had in the beginning of the parak. Therefore, he's going to be patter both from the ksuba, as he's denying that he ever divorced her, and as far as the sherek sus va'ayna is concerned, she said to him, technically, eini mezainos ve'eini oisa. I'm not asking for mezainos from you, and I'm not giving you my ma'isa yodeim. When a woman says she's divorced already, she definitely does not intend on giving him her ma'isa yodeo. Therefore, there's no chiyuv mezainos, and he's not going to be chayiv either in the ksuba or in the chiyuv sherek sus v'ayna. Continuing further in the sugya, the Gemara asks Akasha, Amarle Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi l'Rav, Rav Kahana v'Rav Asi asked Rav, according to you, that a woman is goiva, the ikr ksuba, just by presenting the get, so how does an almana be goiva ikr ksuba? She doesn't have a get. Eloma must be be'edim misa, as long as she proves she's an almana through edim that testify that her husband dies. So the Gemara asks, b'chayshesh, that she collected the ksuba already once after she was divorced, and afterwards, when she hears her ex-husband died, she'll go and be goiva once again as an almana. So the Gemara says an almana will only be goiva her ksuba if at the time of death she was in her husband's home. She was living together with her husband. Otherwise, if there's a tzad that she was a grusha, she taka won't be goiva her ksuba. So the Gemara asks, maybe he divorced her immediately before his passing. So the Gemara says, in such a case, he caused his own hefsid and there's nothing to do. So the Gemara asks on that, so an almana mina erusin, if she's an almana before she was in a suah where she lived with her husband, how is she going to get her ksuba? With eidei misa, obviously. So b'chayshesh, the Gemara's previous kasha, that she was divorced first, she was gaiva her get as a grusha, and now she's going to get it once again as an almana. And it's not possible to say, b'yeshevas tachas baila, she was living with her husband, because she doesn't live with him until nesuin. So the Gemara says, it must be b'makam d'lay efshar kasvin on shaver. Since there's no eitza, they have to write a shaver, a receipt, and therefore if the husband's family doesn't present the receipt, she'll have a right to be gaiva. Now according to Rashi, Gemara is chayzer from what it said before that an almana min asuin, in order for her to be goyva her ksuba, she has to be yeshevas tachas baila. Now that the Gemara acquiesced that for an almana min erisin to be goyva, we say that she may collect her ksuba because the husband's family has to produce a shaver, and if there is no shaver to present, she's going to have to pay because b'makam d'lay efshar kasvin on shaver. Once we come onto such a svara, that applies also to an almana min anisuin. And therefore, even if she wasn't living together with her husband at the time of his passing, if he went to Medina Sayyam, let's say, where there's no proof that right before he died, they were still married, still, since it's possible to write a shaver, we allow her to be goyva her ksuba with Eidei Misa, even though it's theoretically possible she was divorced and was goyva the ksuba once before as a gerusha. Rather, as long as the husband's family does not show that there is a shaver, they'll have to pay the ksuba. However, the Ritva asks on this Shita and Rashi that the stama de milsa is by a almana min ha'asuin, she definitely had a shtar ksuba, if it's a makam shekaisvin, therefore we're not going to be mechayiv the husband to write a shaver, as they can just demand from the isha to give back her ksuba. Therefore, even if the husband didn't write a shaver, she can't be goiva her ksuba as an almana min ha'nisuin unless she was yeshevas tachtav. They were living together at the time of his passing. Otherwise, she cannot be goiva her ksuba with eidei misa. Why doesn't the husband have a shaver if he claims that it was paid already? To be more precise, if the husband's family claims that it was paid already. That's because since generally she'll have a shtar ksuba, she probably gave it back. And that's why they didn't find it necessary to write a ksuba. And even in a place where they don't write a ksuba, makom she'ein kaisven, the Ritva says on that case, it's inu d'afsidu anaf shayu. They should have such a minig that the wives should demand that the husband write them a ksuba. If they didn't write a ksuba, they don't have proof with what to be gaiva. It's basically their tough luck. Therefore, by an almana min anasuin, even if she has eidei misa, if it wasn't yeshevas tachtov by the shas of the patira, if they weren't living together, that she can prove that she was still married to him, she won't be gaiva her ksuba, as it's possible they were divorced already and she was gaiva once already. Mashenkin by an almana min ha'erusin, the derech for sure, according to the Ritz's understanding, is they don't write the ksuba by an almana min ha'erusin. That's not a taina. Why didn't they write before they were actually nesuim, before they were actually married? Because that's not the derech to write before the nesuin. It's not considered they were mafsid to themselves, that they didn't demand a ksuba be written. Therefore, if the husband's family cannot present a shaver, she can be goyva the ksuba with eidei misa alone. The kitzur, according to Rashi, the Gemara was chayzer also on what it said by almana min ha'nesuin, and therefore, even if it's not yeshevas tachtov b'sha'as misa, she's goyva the ksuba with the eidei misa alone, as the husband should have demanded a shaver if he gave her a get b'shas gerushin, if they were divorced. Whereas the Ritva understands that the Gemara was not chayzer from its maskana before by almana min ha'nesuin. By almana min ha'nesuin, it's quite likely they wrote a ksuba, or they, at least they could write a ksuba, and therefore, if she doesn't present a ksuba, will pater the husband's family from paying the ksuba, as they say, it's possible you were divorced, and you were goyva your ksuba already. Why don't we have a shaver? We don't have to come on to shaver, because in all likelihood, you had a ksuba and you should have given it back when he paid you. Mashenken by Amon Amon Eirusin, where it's not a taina, why doesn't she have a ksuba? Generally, a ksuba is not written for an arusa, even b'makim shekaisin a ksuba. Therefore, that's considered the efshar. And if the husband divorced her and gave her ksuba as a grusha mina erusin, he should have demanded a shaver, because there's no other way for her to prove that she deserves a ksuba as an almana. Therefore, without a shaver, she will get her ksuba. It's not comparable to almana mina nesuin, where there's other ways around it, and therefore we're not mechayev the husband's family to present a shaver. According to the Ritva, the Gemara was not chayzer from the halacha that an almana mina nesuin is not goyva unless we know for sure they were living together b'shas the p'tira, unlike Rashi. Now the Gemara continues afterwards, trying to prove that an almana mina erusin gets a ksuba b'chlal. There's no mishnah anywhere that says that a husband is mechuyev to give his almana a ksuba if he died mina erusin, if he didn't write one for her. To mechayev him mitnai bezdin, the Gemara is looking for a raya that there's such a chiyuv. The Gemara brings several rayas, and the Gemara is doicha all of them. So really, lemaskana, there's no pshitusa in the sugya whether an almana mina erusin gets a ksuba if one wasn't written to her. Lamayis a taisus in bab mitzia daf yud zayin omid beis, and taisus in kiddush daf samachay omid aleph, and taisus in yuma daf yud tes omid beis, all hold that although the Gemara over here seems to have a suffix about it, there's no hoichacha either way. It's a davar pashat. Taisus brings rayas from different places in Shas that an almana mina erusin does get a ksuba mitnai bezin, even if the husband did not write one for her. However, the Rambam learns in our sugya that the Gemara blibed with a suffix, and therefore the Rambam paskins that an almana mina erusin does not get a ksuba if one wasn't written for her. In Simen Nunhei Sivav and Evana Ezer, the Mechaber paskins like the Rambam, that an almana mina erusin, if a ksuba was not written for her, does not get a ksuba. The Rama brings the shita of the Rosh, the Ran, and the Tur, that an arusa does get a ksuba, but he writes, the minig is kisvara harishayna, like the shita sarambam, that they don't give a ksuba to an arusa, if one wasn't written for her. The Beshmul writes that if she's only a mishudeches, like we do nowadays, they're engaged, but it's not really an erusin, he didn't actually make a kedushin, even if he did write a ksuba to her, it is not mechayev at all. Because until the erusin happens, a ksuba is not valid, as it was only written to be chal after the kiddushin. Now, one of the rayas the Gemara wanted to bring as to whether an arusa gets a ksuba if one wasn't written was what Rav Chiya bar Ovin brought a brayasa, ishtay arusa, woman who is arusa to a man. If she dies, the husband is not an einon to her, he's mutter tit kadshim, like unlike any einon of a karev. V'loi mitamilo, Rashi says, if he's a kohen, he's not allowed to be mitami to her, because the Torah's matter for a kohen to mitami to his wife. Kim l'she'erei akorav eilov, she is not considered his wife regarding to the heter of being mitame, unless she's nesua. And likewise, if he dies, she is not mitama to him. Rashi explains, she's not mechuyiv to be mitame to him. She doesn't have to be involved and go to the kvura. Even though Rashi says it's a mitzvah for a person to mutamei and be misasek in the kvura of his krivim, in such a case where she's just an arusa, she's not mechuyiv to be mutamei to her arus. Now it's Yadua Shitas HaRambam in Perek Beis Mehilchas Ovel Halacha Vav that the mitzvah to be mutamei to a kriv is only by Kehanim Zchorim. The Rambam writes, Kam chamur mitzvah ovel, shahare ha-koyin nidchas layatum apnei kroivov. How serious the mitzvah of avelos is. A koyin is mutter to metame to his koroiv in order to misasik with his kvura and to misabel on them. As he brings the pasuk of kiyam l'sheirei korov eilov, you see the pasuk's talking about a koyin is mutter to be metame to his kroivim. And the Rambam writes, Bamed dvar amurim, when is this mitzvah applicable? B'schorim
by males who huzaru el tumah. Kaihanim zcharim have an isser to be metamei lameis. Here the Torah said it's a mitzvah for them to be mistamei to their kraivim. Aval kaihanois, female kaihanim, hoyel ve'enon muzharis el tumah, since the Torah didn't ask for them to become tamei lameisim, kach ein mitzuvahis lehistamei lekraivim. They're not mitzuvah likewise to be mistamei lekraivim. If they want to, they can. If they don't want to, they don't have to.
Al kopanim, the Rambam holds that the mitzvah to be metame to a koroiv is only someone that's osur to be metame to anybody else, namely kehanim zchorim. However, kehanois, and for certain, a regular Yisrael has no mitzvah to be metame to his koroiv. The Raivar asks, according to the Rambam, how is he going to explain our braisa? What does it say in the braisa? Because she's only in Arusa and not in Nesua, she is not mitame to her husband. It's mashma. If she was in Nesua, then she is mechuyev to be mitame to her husband, which is mochach, that a woman who's a karev has the same mitzvah as being mitame as anybody else. It's mochach, not like the Rambam. According to the Rambam, it's theoretically impossible for a woman ever to be mechuyev to be mitame to a karev. She is not a kayin zachar. We can't explain the braisa as to say that if she's in Arusa, she's not allowed to. If she's in Nesua, she may. And we'd say the braisa is talking about kehanos, that can't be. Because a kehanos is never usur to be metame to anybody. Therefore, behechreach, when the braisa says that an Arusa is not metame to her husband, it means she's not mechuyiv to. It's a mashma, if she was in Nesua, she would be mechuyiv to, which is in direct contradiction to Shitas HaRambam. The Achronim struggle to answer the Rambam from this braisa. One of the Maramakayimus is the Shagas Aryan Simon Samachvav, whoever wants to, Ayin Sham. And moving on towards the end of the Amud, the Mishnah writes, in a case where there are two gittin from the same husband to the same wife and two ksubois, she's going with two ksubois. However, if there are two ksubois and one get, that means the husband wrote a ksuba one time, and then a bit later he wrote another ksuba. And there was a get afterwards, she's only gave one ksuba. And the Gemara asks on that. It seems that the Mishnah doesn't tell us which ksuba she's gave. It's mashma, she can give any one of the two ksubas that she'd like. It's the Grusha's prerogative to pick which ksuba she's gave. So the Gemara asks, L'chayr that's a tiyuvta against Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel, because Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, two shtaris that go out one after the other, the second shtar is mevatel the first one. As we say, that the second shtar proves that there was a mechila on the first shibud. Then why do we say that by ksuba, it's the wife's prerogative to pick whichever ksuba she wants, and we don't say the second ksuba shows a bitul, a mechila on the first shibud? So the Gemara answers that Rav Papa said that Rav Nachman is meida, even though normally we say the second shtar is mevatel the first one, if he was meisif, if he added something in the second shtar over the first one, so what that means is he's giving the option to the baal shtar to pick one of the two, either the second shtar with a later shibud with a teisefes, or the person who has the shtar can stick with the first shtar, although he loses that teisefes, but he has the shibud from the earlier time. Rav Nachman only says the second shtar was mevatel the first one, and it shows that there was a mechila, is talking about in a case where he didn't add anything, so therefore the second shtar proves that he was meichel the first shibud. Now, when Rav Nachman says that two shtaris ayotzeis b'zachar zeh, that the second shtar is mevatel the first shtar, because it's mochach there was a mechila on the first shibud, what kind of shtar are we talking about? Rashi writes in Dibur HaMaschil b'zeh that it's talking about they're both either shtaris on a halva, or they're both shtaris on a mecher. In either case, we say that the second shtar is mevatel the first shtar. Now, the Ramban really questions, how does Rashi know that it's talking about the same halva? He says it could be that he was mefarish on this particular halva that's the same as the first one, or it could even be bestama. He just wrote the same amount, the same day. We understand it to be referring to the same halva. And therefore, he will only be able to be goiva the amount of one halva. And as we said, the second shtar is mevatel the first shtar, and therefore he's goyva mimeshabdi from the time of the second shtar. However, the Rif holds, the Rav Nachman's halacha, that we say the second shtar is mevatel the first shtar, as we understand it's really referring to the same transaction, that's only by a mecher. By a sale, we can say that since the shtar mecher indicates which plot of land was being sold, it really is the second shtar on the same transaction that transpired. However, by shtari halva, if there are two separate shtaris of a loan, even if it's the same amount, and it would seem that they're both referring to the same loan, if that's not clearly indicated in the shtar as such, there's no reason for the malva not to be able to be goyva to collect both amounts, as we assume they're naturally two different halvois. If he has two shtaris, then he made two separate loans. Now, it's pasha that the Rif would be made to Rashi if it was clearly written in the shtar that they're referring both to the same loan. The Rif is talking about bistama, where it's not clearly indicated in the shtar they're both talking about the same loan, so then naturally assume there are two different loans that happened, and therefore he can be gave it twice. And if Rashi is talking about bistama, if it would just seem from the lashon of the shtaris they're both referring to the same loan, then Rashi argues on the Rif, and Rashi holds that even in such a case where it's only bistama, it seemingly is referring to the same loan, that's enough of a reason not to allow the malva to be goyva twice, one time for each star. Now the Ramban asks on the Rif, brings a raya to Rashi. We see from the halacha of ksuba, where the husband wrote to her two ksubas. He wrote to her a ksuba of 200, and then he wrote to her another ksuba of 300. It says clearly in the Gemara that she can be goyva either 200 from the earlier time and have an earlier shibud, or 300 from the later time and have a later shibud. The Gemara does not entertain the idea that she can be goyva all 500. It's possible that he wrote to her 200 and then he decided to add more and give her another 300. True, it's possible. But since it's not muchach, we say yad balashtar al techtayna. Whenever there's a suffix, we give the maitzi a weaker hand. And we say as long as it's not muchach, that in the shtar it's written for the balashtar to get more, he naturally gets less. Hamaitzi mechaveri olvaraya. So if that's the case, we should say the same way the halacha applies to shtari halva. True, it's possible there were two separate loans. However, since it's possible it's referring to the same loan, the halacha by shtari halva should be similar to the halacha of ksuba. Just like by ksuba, we don't say that she gets both, even though it's possible he meant both. The same way we should say by shtari halva, it's possible there were two loans, but kolzman is not muchach, we don't allow the malva to be goyva to collect twice. It's l'chayra raya against the Rif. However, the Ramban is doicha this taina. He says, ksuba is different than a shtar chayv of a halva. By ksuba, it's really one chayv. The chayv ksuba is one chayv. Therefore, if the husband intended by the second shtar to add on to the first ksuba, he should have written v'oisifas, and I'm adding on to the first shtar. By the fact that he doesn't write v'oisifas, and we're talking about the same chayv ksuba, therefore, the understanding is that he meant either or, either the first ksuba, the lower value, but an earlier shibud, or he meant the second shtar, a later shibud, and a higher value. However, by two halvois, one has nothing to do with the other. If he lent $1,000 to Shimon in Adar, and then in Nisan, he lent him another $1,000. One loan has nothing to do with the other. There's no reason Mechlal to refer in the second loan to the first loan. Therefore, the Rif understands as a davar pashut, if there are two different shtaris on a loan, there's no reason to say that the two loans written in the shtaris are connected. The Rif holds that he'll be able to be goyva from both, as shtari halva is not comparable to shtari ksuba. And the Ramban L'maisa is masik that it's mestaber like the Rif, that by shtari halva, even if it seems they're written on the same loan, if it's not clearly indicated so in the shtaris, the malva can be given from both.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.